Okay. Ham with olives. V'hainu de Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. Eight lines from the bottom. Can you hear us? Oh, okay. Another source for the concept of suffering being an atonement. V'hainu de Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. This is also the idea that Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish said. D'omar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. Ne'mar bris b'melach. It says that Hashem has a covenant based on salt, meaning salt is always to be used on the Mizbeach. That's considered a covenant. V'ne'mar bris b'yisurim. And it says that Hashem makes a covenant with us through yisurim, through suffering. Ne'mar bris b'melach. It says the word bris, covenant, with regard to salt, where? Yiksib. It says in the Pasuk, V'loitash b'smelach bris. Do not seize the presence of the salt of the covenant from on the Mizbeach. There must always be salt on any carbon on the Mizbeach. V'ne'mar bris b'yisurim. And it also says the word covenant with regard to yisurim, to suffering. Yiksib. It says in the Pasuk, Eile divrei abris. Following the Torah's in Parshas Kisavai, when the Torah describes all of the misfortunes that will come upon people who don't listen to Hashem, the Torah concludes by saying, these are the words of the covenant. So, it says covenant about suffering, it says covenant about salt. What's the comparison? Mabrisa amur b'melach. Melach mimatekes es abosa. Just like with regard to salt, where it says bris. What does salt do? Salt enhances the meat. You take meat that's coarse and bloody. After you salt it, it becomes cleansed of the salt, of the blood, and it also becomes softened. It's not as tough. Habris ha'am will be yisurin. So too, when it says bris with regard to yisurin, to suffering, yisurin memarkim kol avinoisav shel adam. Suffering can cleanse all of the sins of a person. So here we're seeing a new twist on this whole suffering thing, which also has important significance, that just like suffering can have the same effect on a person that salt has on meat. Just like salt refines and enhances the meat, so too suffering can refine and enhance the person. Yes. Sometimes it has to be accompanied, but yes, it can. Lucky is the man who uses tshuva instead of yisurin. Now, I just want to bring out a point here. That is here, that actually we're seeing another point of suffering that we haven't seen earlier. In addition to everything we've discussed earlier, there is another concept in suffering, and that is, up till now we were seeing that it carries all kinds of merit, might be done for very sublime purposes, might atone, but here we're seeing that it directly improves the person. And that's another element of suffering. Suffering can improve a person. How's that? I'll give an example. This is also something that when a person goes through something, you have to have your sensitivities alert in order to gain this. I'll give an example. Doctors are faced with a challenge. For a doctor to retain sensitivity to a patient, to all of his patients, whatever situation they are, it isn't easy. Especially since, when a person is dressed in a designer suit and tie, and he walks in and he's a man of stature in the ward, and he's dealing with somebody lying flat on his back in a hospital gown and in a pathetic state, it's hard to relate to that person sensitively. Because automatically the doctor feels that he's in a different league. This person is a guy in a gown that automatically gives this whole pathetic impression, lying on his back. I'm in control. If a doctor isn't careful, callousness can set in. Now there was a doctor, an oncologist, who was very familiar with the oncology ward. He knew it from the doctor's side, the doctor's perspective. And if a person's not careful, it could turn into a ward full of specimens. And then one day this doctor was diagnosed. And he found himself in the ward, but this time he's the one on his back. Now, when this doctor recovers, he could be and should be a changed man. Now, when he approaches that ward again, and he sees people lying on their back in the hospital gowns, he can know that those can be people just like him. It's not a different type of person. Malik of Yisrael Salanter says, I'm putting it into a different context. There's two types of people. There are the people who get sick and the people who don't get sick. Now he knows that no, that person lying on the bed is mamish like him. Mamish like him with all the same feelings and everything. The doctor can utilize that ordeal to become a better and more refined person. As long as a person hasn't really suffered, it's hard for him to relate to people who are going through suffering. There was a story of Rabbi Chaim Meisels, the Rav of Lodz. He had, the Rabbanim often had the job of trying to go around the town and squeeze money out of the rich in order to help the poor. Because the poor always came to them and they were the go-between. One time on a very, very cold winter night, he came knocking at one of the wealthy people in town's home. And this was a pretty regular occurrence. And the wealthy man was very respectful. He stepped out of the house and Rabbi Yechaim started describing to him a poor family. So the wealthy man said, come, step in, we'll talk about it inside. It's cold. Rabbi Yechaim ignored him, he just kept talking. And the fellow didn't want to interrupt the Rav, he was a respectful person. So he stood outside until he was really starting to shiver. He said, Rabbi, come in, we'll talk inside. Rabbi Yechaim just kept talking, he just kept going. Well, finally, it was like about 10 minutes, and the guy is standing like this. He had thought he was stepping out for a second. He didn't put on a coat or anything. And he's standing like this, and he finally started begging, Rebbe, please, let's continue the conversation inside. Stop for a minute. We'll continue inside. So Rabbi Chaim said, I kept you out here deliberately. As long as we're sitting by your fireplace and discussing people who have no heat, you think to yourself, all right, they'll manage. Now, you experience for 10 minutes what it feels like. Now picture a family who feels that way all night. They can't get away from it. Suffering can refine a person. Suffering can improve a person. So that's the idea here. It softens the meat. It changes the nature of the meat. The salt. Suffering can do the same for us. And the truth is, that's one of the reasons that the Torah gives for the fact we were slaves in Mitzrayim. The Torah often says, when the Torah imposes mitzvahs of Ben Adam L'Chaveroi, sensitivity to slaves, sensitivity to gerim, to strangers, foreigners, these were very novel concepts at that time. No countries believed in these things. The Torah keeps saying, why? Because you were slaves in Mitzrayim, you know how it feels. We went through that experience of Mitzrayim. One of the reasons, and there are other reasons too, one of the reasons were, in order to make us into a better person. A better person is a person who can relate to another person's suffering. Having gone through that suffering, we became better people. Okay. Remember when I was a kid, I was one of the wimps in the class. One of the outstanding wimps in the class. I was always the butt of all the other kids' jokes. I remember one time my Rebbe in first grade, I was upset. He told me, six and stones can break your bones, but words can never harm you. Okay. I came home, I told my father what happened in school, and I told him this jingle that my Rebbe told me. My father grimaced. And he said, go back to your Rebbe and tell him that my version is, six sticks and stones might break your bones, but words will harm the most. Okay. At the time, I didn't really chop the point, but there was a certain sense of validation. Yes, it's true. Words can be torture. I don't know, I think that experience made me a better person. I'm a great guy, Rabbi Yisrael. I know that it was hard for me. As I went later in school, I turned into a chevraman about fourth grade. My father saw that I was a social failure completely. He took a very unique approach. He started encouraging me to make trouble in class. That turns me into one of the most popular kids in the class. And that was basically the end of my troubles in school. I had to deal with the principal, but believe me, that was easier than dealing with the guys in the class. And then I was already in position. I had the power to... But it stuck with me, that lesson. Suffering improves a person, but you have to be attuned to it. Okay, let's move on. Tanya. Now we move on to another sugya, another subtopic on the subject of suffering. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai Oimer. Shalosh matonos toivos noson HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeYisrael. Hashem granted three great gifts to the Jewish people. Ve'kulan lo nisonon elo al yedei yisurim. And all of them he gave by means of affliction. Elohim, and what are they? Torah, that's number one. Eretz Yisrael is number two. The Olam Haba, and that's number three. These are three of the greatest gifts that Hashem granted Klal Yisrael, but they have to be earned through affliction. What this means, we'll see. And now we show a pasuk for each one. Torah B'nai. How do we know that Torah has to be earned through affliction? Shenema. It says in the pasuk, Ashrei Hagever Asher Tiasvenu Ka. Fortunate is the man whom you afflict, Hashem. Umitarascha Tilamdenu. And you teach him your Torah. Meaning, through afflicting a person, Hashem teaches him his Torah. That's how a person learns Torah. Eretz Yisrael. Where do we see this concept with regard to Eretz Yisrael? Iksiv. It says in the pasuk, Ki ka'asher yiyaser ishes v'noi. Just as a father afflicts his son, Hashem elokecha me'asrecha. Hashem afflicts you. Uksiv basrei. And immediately afterwards it says, Ki Hashem elokecha mi'viyacho al Eretz toivo. Hashem is bringing you to a good land, Eretz Yisrael. So you see that the means, the path to Eretz Yisrael is through Hashem afflicting us the way a father afflicts his child. Olam Haba. What about Olam Haba? It says in the pasuk, Kiner mitzvah v'torah or. Mitzvah is like light. A mitzvah is like a lamp. Torah is like light. V'derech chayim toichachos musa. And the path of life, meaning the path to true life, eternal life, Olam Haba, is affliction. So what's being stated here? So the truth is that this is a little bit of a different sugya than what we've been seeing up till now. Up till now we were talking about affliction as in suffering, misfortune. Here we're really talking about a very different subject. We're talking about a person being miyaser himself. A person afflicting himself, overcoming his own superficial nature in order to be able to tap into, to access your deeper levels and your deeper potentials. Meaning, this is not suffering in the sense of Hashem sending upon you suffering. This is suffering, so to speak, things that you have to afflict yourself. Meaning as follows. The price you got to pay for Torah, for Olam Haba. For example, very basic example, Olam Haba, by definition, involves self-discipline. Self-discipline isn't fun. It'd be much better to be able to eat whatever we want. So, no. You would like that cheeseburger from McDonald's? You have to afflict yourself. That's really the Yisurim here really should be translated more as discipline than affliction. You have to be able to discipline yourself. You have to be able to break your superficial desires in order to tap into the deeper levels. Meaning like this. For example, this one chazal that sounds very depressing. Adam kiyamus va'oyel. Chazal says in the pasuk, when a person dies in the, this is the Torah of a person who dies in a tent. So chazal say, a person who wants to acquire Torah has to kill himself over it. Torah can only be acquired by a person who kills himself over it. Sounds a little bit depressing, right? You have to have a depressing life. You have to be a suffering righteous, right? We'll be discussing later. We don't believe in volunteering to be a suffering righteous person. You're supposed to enjoy a spiritual life. But what does it mean? So what does it mean that you have to kill yourself over Torah? The Chazon Ish says something very, very profound, which is really the pshat here in the Gemara and the pshat in life in general. He says, we're not talking about killing yourself, we're talking about bringing yourself to life. On a superficial level, you think that you depend on having this and having that. Torah requires discipline. It means killing what you think is you. I can't sit in one place for 3 hours straight. I can't do that. I can't learn in the heat. I can't learn without a good breakfast. If breakfast isn't ready one day, I just don't have the head for it. I can't learn when I'm tired. It's not me. So the Chazon Ish says, you can, just it's a deeper level of you. Kill yourself. The you who can't learn in this circumstance, and who can't learn in this circumstance, and who can't sacrifice this and can't sacrifice that, kill that you. You don't really need that. It's just a deeper level of you that you haven't accessed yet. By overcoming many of your natural desires, many of your natural instincts, you kill the you think you are, right? I need this, I need that, I can't overcome this. Kill that you. Kill that you. Break past the barriers you think are a part of you, and then you'll discover the deeper you. That's the pshat here. So for example, yes, Torah requires a lot of discipline in yourself. You have to push yourself. You know, if you're not going to learn whenever you're not in the mood, you're going to be missing out on a lot of Torah. You have to overcome yourself. Olam HaBa is the same thing. You have to overcome yourself. That's what the words of the Messiah Yisharim are. A person has to realize that in order to merit becoming a true servant of Hashem, you have to overcome your very nature. You have to turn over your very nature. It's actually liberating when you think of it, because sometimes you say, now it's too hard, now I'm facing too many difficulties. But when you understand that that is the key to success, it's not good there that you're going to earn your Olam HaBa, it's not when it goes easy. That's where it lies. So you understand, that's right. When it's hard to get out of bed, that's where the Olam HaBa is. Don't say, alright, when I'm feeling okay in the morning, when I'm not tired, I get up. That's bringing in small profits. The big profits are from the day that you're tired. And Eretz Yisrael is the same thing. Eretz Yisrael requires detaching, to an extent, from the material expectations that most nations would have in the land. People are coming into Eretz Yisrael in order to enjoy its material benefits. Hashem won't allow them to enjoy Eretz Yisrael. You have to be able to rise above the superficial material benefits and put your focus on the spiritual opportunities Eretz Yisrael has to offer. Then you'll be able to enjoy the material benefits also. Eretz Yisrael demands a lot. Eretz Yisrael demands a lot. Eretz Yisrael demands living. We see now. Eretz Yisrael demands living in a apparently unstable feeling. Right? You're completely out of control. You see that the politicians just can't get a hold on the situation. So we kid ourselves into thinking, alright, we'll get this guy in power, we'll get that guy in power. If the army will do this, the army will do that. A boy said he's been trying it for 65 years, they haven't gotten it straight. We have to realize that no. An inherent part of the experience of living in Eretz Yisrael is letting go of that feeling of normal stability and just submitting yourself. Eretz Yisrael is a land run by Hashem's providence. It runs under completely different rules than the rest of the world. You see that in all ways. It's just completely different rules. And they always say, you hear that, you said it about the ancient wars of Eretz Yisrael, and about the modern day wars also, that they don't factor that in when they make studies of wars. Because they just don't work with any of the normal rules. Just completely out of whack. When they should have won, they lost. When they should have lost, they won. You have to let go of that feeling of being in your own hands, and that's a tough thing to let go of. And just submit yourself to Hashem's providence. So again, these three things, the most fundamental presents that Hashem gave us, are earned through a different form of affliction, self-discipline, breaking past your natural feeling of who you are and being able to access a deeper level of who you are. A level of who you are where you don't depend on normal concepts of stability. You don't require the normal material requirements that people have. You're on a deeper level. Okay, we'll move on. Someone quoted a braisa in the presence of Rabbi Yechonon. Kol ha'oisek b'Torah u'bigmilus chatzodim. If a person engages in Torah and in Chesed, v'koyver es banav. This is not what we'll jump to do. And buries his sons, Rachmana Litzlan, moichlin loyal kol ha'avinoisel. That's a person who can know that all of his sins are atoned for. Meaning these are some of the greatest sin eliminators. Torah, Chesed, and Rachmana Litzlan, burying one's children. Now, Omar le Rabbi Yechonon. So Rabbi Yechonon said, what's that? Each one is a very strong force. When you have three together, you've covered everything. One alone can achieve a lot. The three together have much greater power. But you don't have to strive for that. There are other means. There are other means. You can focus on tshuva also. And like we said the other day, utilize the smaller yisurim. You can utilize those too. But this is a very, very big sin cleanser. Now, by the way, I just want to note, if we've mentioned that in parentheses, the real profit in Yisurim is in the moderate Yisurim. A lot of times, when tiny things happen, we barely even notice. When the big things happen, we automatically become aware that we have to take something seriously. It's only those in-between things, things that you wouldn't really call a misfortune, but aggravating things. When, you know what Yisurim are? Yisurim are the type of thing that we'll often tend to just get very frustrated about. But not think of it that way. When the baby was crying until 2 in the morning, when you finally drifted into sleep, the 4-year-old starts scratching. That's Yisurin. So when you wake up all groggy eyed, I just can't handle it anymore, note, then, these are the Yisurin we're talking about. Or all kinds of other such things. You just missed the last bus, you really needed to get there. And this is already a type of thing that you don't just not notice. It's a yisurim. It's those in-between things to take advantage of. But, again, this is one of the major things, one of the biggest sin cleansers that there are. Now, Omar le Rabbi Yechon. So Rabbi Yechon says, what's the source for this? Bishlama Teiru Gmilus Chasodim. Teira and Chesed, we have a source for. Iksib, says in the Pasuk, Bechesed ve'emes yichupar avayim. Through chesed and truth, sins are atoned. Chesed zugmilus chasadim. Chesed obviously means chesed. Shenema, as it says in the pasuk, we know that chesed gets you to great places. It says, roidev tzedakah v'chesed, a person who pursues tzedakah and chesed, yimtzachayim tzedakah v'chavayim. He will achieve life, meaning eternal life, and tzedakah for himself in honor. Emezu taira, and truth refers to taira. Shenema, emes kneva altimkar. Acquire truth and don't sell it away. So these two things we do see in the pasuk, that they are sin atoners. And that's why, as we noted, Rabbi Yehuda says, something to take into account. It's a good idea to take advantage as much as you can. Try to get in as much Torah and Chesed as possible, because Torah and Chesed can be in lieu of suffering. If a person does need to suffer, has suffering decreed upon him, or if a person did an avera that can only be atoned through suffering, Torah and Chesed can be in lieu of that suffering. So it's a good thing to take advantage of. Chesed is Chesed, Emes is truth, which means Torah. Truth refers to Torah, the ultimate truth. Chesed and Emes, they both have that property. Each one will do it to an extent. You do the two together, you get a greater extent. What? It is. Torah, chesed, and burying children. Chesed, Torah is emes. Now, what's that? Why aren't we listing tshuva, tefillah, and tzedakah here? Right. I don't know. I don't know when we use different things. There it's said more in the context of tshuva, tefillah, and tzedakah. It's said more in the specific context of when there's a din. Those are the things to use to find favor in the din. Here we're talking in general. You know you have a record, and you want to knock things off. These are the things to use. Why this is here and that's there, I don't know. I don't know. Okay. Now the Maharal notes that these things are appropriate as sin atoners, because he says, what is a sin? There's a path that a person is supposed to be on. You're not supposed to deviate from the path. But you can go off the path in two ways. There's a good off the path and there's a bad off the path. There's what we call Yotze Mishuras Hadin. Person deviates in the wrong, off the path in the wrong direction. Averas. Then there's Lifnim Mishuras Hadin. He goes off the path but stays on the inside, when he does things beyond the letter of the law. So, when a person goes off the path in the wrong direction, you have to balance that out by going off the path in the other direction. Chesed, by definition, is Lifnim Mishuras Hadin. Chesed means things that you're not required to do, you do them anyways. So chesed, by definition, is going off the path to the extreme in the good direction. By the way, that's really what chesed means. Chesed, the word chesed doesn't really mean kindliness. Chesed means extreme. That's why, for example, certain forms of incest in the Torah, right, are referred to as chesed. Why? It's an extreme form of immorality. A pious person is called a chassid. Same root. Because he's extreme in his dedication to Hashem. Chesed, as in kindliness, is extreme also, because there's the path you need to be on, and when you pull yourself over to an extreme, you're doing chesed. You're going to an extreme. You don't need to be doing that. So therefore, yes, you went off in that direction, you balance it by going off in that direction. That's chesed. Now, Torah is a similar idea, not exactly the same thing, but Torah also is balancing, the counterbalancing the sin. Why? Sin came from, what did sin result from? Your heart, or your mind, your heart was in the wrong place. A person doesn't do a sin if he doesn't want to do a sin, right? If a person wants to do a sin, it means his heart is in the wrong place. He wants the wrong things. By learning Torah, you are adjusting your heart. You're getting it into the right place. Now, doesn't necessarily mean that if I succumb to the temptation, now I sit down and learn for a half hour, that's it. I knocked that temptation out of my system. But all learning, Lamaisa, is adjusting your whole psyche. And therefore, you are counterbalancing the initial root of the sin. All Torah is actually doing that. Torah is improving your psyche. It's bringing it to a better level. Your whole mindset, your whole mentality. It's getting you a little closer to not being tempted. This half hour that you learned might not eliminate the problem, but it's getting you a bit closer. So that's Torah and Chesed. But now we move on to the last element, burying one's children. So, Elokoyve es bonav minayin. What is the source that burying one's children is an atonement for sins? So Tana le'ahu sabe mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. So a certain elder cited him a brisa that says, in the name of Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, Asya Ovoin Ovoin. We have a Gzera Shava. It says sin. Sin in two psukim. Ksivacha. It says here, the Chesed ve'emes yichupar Ovoin. Through Chesed and truth, sins will be atoned for. Uksivasam. And it says elsewhere, Umishalim Avoin Ovois El Chek Beneya. He visits the sin of the fathers upon the sons. So, just like it says sin there in the context of atonement regarding chesed and Torah, it also says the same word here in the context of punishment being visited upon one's children. You see that they have the same properties, they can both atone. Now this is a very difficult concept. Obviously, person is meant to wake up from these things. That's part of what achieves the atonement. If a person wakes up from these things, this can atone for it. Now, a little bit of a difficult concept, because that a person's children will die because of his sins. Especially since we know that there's a pasuk that says, "Banim lo yumsu alavos." It's a little bit of a difficult concept to grasp. So the truth is that in a technical way, this is an answer that won't really settle the issue for us in our hearts. But in a technical way, what the Kadmonim say is, no, when it says "Banim lo yumsu alavos," children will not die for the fathers. First of all, in general, it's not an absolute rule. Depends. But that's stated about adults. Children is a different story. Underage children might be used to punish the father. Now that settles the issue technically, but it certainly doesn't settle the issue for us. The Shomer Amunim, many people know of the Shomer Amunim, the recent Shomer Amunim, the Reb Aaron of Karlin from about 100 years ago. But there was a much more early Shomer Amunim, which is less famous. Rav Yosef Irgas, one of the early Mikubalim, he writes that no, it doesn't mean that a child will die because of a father's sin. Instead, it means something else. There are certain neshamas that are slated to come into this world for a limited amount of time. They're meant to be here for 7 years, for whatever reason. Now, Hashem will give them to the person who He wants to bring these Yisurim upon. So it's not that the child dies because of the father's, in order to atone for the father. No, this child was meant to die anyways. Hashem brings this child to this father in order to provide the father with this experience. So now, okay, so if so, yes, we're seeing. That yes, we've established from a pasuk that a person burying his children is a very strong form of atonement. Okay, now we're going to start.
Sorry, I went to hold half a dock. Any story is not the avo, the proven. Now, why do we have to go through something else?
There are different extents. The woman is asking, 1 minute. If switching a dime for a, if switching a quarter for a dime is Yisurin that can atone, so what is the Gemara telling us here? And you know what? Burying a child can also atone. Switching a quarter for a dime is cheaper. So the truth is that we have to understand that at the end of the day, we don't know how the equations work, but different extents of suffering will atone to different extents. And therefore, first of all, a smaller level of suffering might not achieve as much atonement. But besides that, there's another issue. Most people don't achieve all that much atonement by switching a dime for a nickel because they're not conscious of it. Burying a child wakes everybody up. Rachmana litzlan, we should never go through it. Burying a child wakes everybody up. But the truth is that, again, one of the big purposes in learning this sugya is to be able to utilize one time switching the dime for the quarter, another time being out of eggs when you needed it, another time coming up with the wrong toothpaste, etc., etc., etc. We can utilize a lot of those and accumulate an account that can replace the need for such great suffering. So the truth is that it very much depends on us. Sometimes a person utilizes the small yisurim, one after the other, to wake up. The person is not. The person is spiritually numb. Sometimes it takes a much bigger jolt to wake him up in order to achieve this. So, Rachmana Litzlan, the truth is, you have to be wise enough to take advantage of the small yisurim. That's what I said before. When you miss the bus, don't waste the opportunity. Don't just get upset. You can get upset, but don't just get upset. Don't waste the opportunity. When you bang your shin, don't waste the opportunity. A lot of shin banging, or I'll give another example. The Arizal says, bizyonis. When a person suffers embarrassment in this world, he says, it's a very terrible form of suffering. He said, if people would realize the benefit of it, they'd go looking for it, the Arizal says. Why? You ask a person, you just learned the sugya of Yisurim, suffering. And nobody wants to be humiliated, right? But you just learned the whole sugya. You saw that it can have very, very great effects. Do you want Yisurim? You want the benefit of Yisurim? Person, yeah. Okay. Bury a child? No. Okay, want to lose your whole fortune? No. Anything else? Would you like to... How about a sickness for 10, 15 years? After which you might come out okay, you might come out with a few limbs amputated. What else is on the list? What else can you offer me? Terrible humiliation. When you think of it in that light, you say, I'll take it. So that's the idea here. You can take advantage. Be wise enough to take advantage. Rabbi Avigdor Miller added a very, very profound point here. He said an even wiser person can utilize good times to wake up. Doesn't have to wait for these sorts of wake-up calls. So many people learn to cry out to Hashem from suffering. He says, fortunate is the man who learns to cry out from Hashem when things are good. Cry out to Hashem from happiness. That can save this purpose also. So again, we never know. Sometimes a person needs Yisurim because sometimes a person has something over his head that can only be achieved through Yisurim. Oh, so that's what we said. Not deserved it. Children don't deserve it as long as they're underage. But it's like we said before. This is a neshama that was meant to live for 7 years or whatever it is. He was sent to this person in order because this person needed that achievement. So that's the idea. Yeah, there are bigger Yisurim and there are smaller Yisurim. By utilizing Yisurim whenever you can save the need for the greater ones, Rachmana Litzlan. But... Oh, Rabbi Yaakov is bringing out a very good point. I want to put what you're saying into a bigger perspective. Don't come away from here saying, okay, so if so, I'm guaranteed. I'll always fill my pocket with a lot of change. That way I always stand a good chance of coming up with the wrong coin. And then I can be assured that if I do that 50,000 times over the next 3 years, I'll never suffer this. Or I can say even better. When I do see somebody who goes through such an experience, I say, he didn't learn what I learned. He didn't take advantage of the coin trick. I know why he went through that. You have to realize that that's not so. Because often, it's not just an issue of atoning for this or for that. Sometimes there's a greater purpose. The example will be like we discussed before. Sometimes this will come in ways that don't have to do with sin. Sometimes it'll be an issue of Hashem is granting a person an opportunity to meet the challenge, to rise to the challenge of accepting Hashem's din. That is an end in and of itself, nothing to do with sin. That grants a person greatness. Sometimes it's like we said before, this person is going to serve as an inspiration for his neighborhood. That gives him very, very great schar. He might inspire all kinds of other people to things that he could have never done through his own efforts. So therefore, at the end of the day, you never know. We never know. Okay. Now, we're going to continue with another point that's going to tie back to this. Say, if Hashem sent this my way, if He wanted it for me, I accept. I accept it willingly. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, but the truth is, Gamzu L'Toiva, let's also have that in the right perspective. Gamzu L'Toiva doesn't necessarily mean, this somehow means that next week I'm winning the lottery. Gamzu L'Toiva should also be understood to mean that this is a benefit for me in the very fact that I am taking it right. Rabbi Yonah says that often, that's the greater purpose. Sometimes you see, you often hear stories. Person went through this and this and this. Right? That's like the story that the Gemara tells. Person was right. He was meant to go on a business trip, and as he was walking, he stepped on a big spike, went into his foot. He wasn't able to walk, couldn't make it to the boat. He missed the boat, and what's that? Oh, and the boat sunk. But that came after a juicy string of, I'm not going to say. 1 minute. Now, I lost my train of thought. What did you ask? So then we hear the story. Oh, what an amazing story. They printed in Mishpacha and all the other magazines that it ended up that the boat sunk. We say, now we see the great benefit that he got from the spike. But Rabbi Yehuda says a greater thing. If the guy does take it right, he achieved an even greater benefit. He achieved an even greater benefit. He achieved the eternal bliss that's worth coming into this world for, just for that achievement of getting that spike, missing the boat, and saying, Hashem, I take it.
People are suffering, they get angry, they get nervous. And he even says about Eeyore, he's not criticized for what he did. And he himself said, I have Nidavim that it should be, you know, that he should die.
There's
so
a difference.
What is the right attitude?
The right attitude is not doing that. The right attitude is not getting angry and nervous. It's tough, but that is the right attitude. I'm sorry. Now, could be that a person won't be held to blame. Again, we're not talking about averus here. We're talking about making big money. Could be that a person won't be held accountable for reacting in an upset way, but nebuch, you didn't utilize the opportunity. Hillel, for example, the Shlomo brings the story of Hillel. Hillel said he was once coming from out of town, and when they approached town, they heard hysterical screaming. They understood something terrible was going on. And Hillel said, I'm 100% confident it's not in my house. So the Shla asks, how can you be 100% confident? We saw that the most righteous people can go through suffering because of these great purposes. Maybe it was his house. Maybe it was his house, and yes, he was a perfect person, and this was being brought upon him for the right reason. The Shla says an amazing thing. Hillel wasn't saying, it can't be that a misfortune hit my house. Hillel was saying, those hysterical screams cannot be coming from my house. I know the way I trained my family. No matter what would be going on in the house, it would never sound that way. That's what Hillel was saying. That's how he knew that it wasn't him. He said, my family would take it in a different way. It's an amazing thing. Now again, these are things that we have to work on internalizing before it becomes relevant. To tell this to a person who's suffering, we don't dare. Unless you figure he can handle it. Then why not? But it's not the thing to come tell a person who's going through something. But these are things to tell ourselves in order to fortify ourselves, in order to be able to react this way. Okay. Unfortunately, yes. Meaning, I will say that there are different degrees. Meaning, if a person is first aggravated, but then, as you know, as he takes stock of the situation, as his thought settles, he comes to a state of mind and he accepts it, fine. But if a person just goes through the whole thing bitter, the Gemara said earlier, that is really the one condition of profiting from Yisurim. The one... What's that? Both. Meaning, if you want to get the benefit of Yisurim, the Gemara said there is one condition. Accept it. Accept it from Hashem. Take it. If He's bringing it upon me, I accept it. If a person was bitter from beginning to end, and never did, he was just... Then he misses the opportunity. That's the one challenge. And again, the Goyin and the Chassam Sofer both stress that if you think about it, a person is going through it anyways. He's going through it anyways. In a sense, the guy and the Chassan Sofer both say this. This is cheap Olam Haba. A person is going through it anyways. He just has to react right. It's not like yelling and kicking and screaming and cursing is going to change anything. So why not react right? Again, easy. It's easy to talk, but we have to talk when it's easy. That's the time to talk. That's the time to internalize these things.
Didn't you say in the previous talk that we have to check our ways, check our actions, make sure we didn't do any bad actions, check our Torah learning, check the things in the individual's mind? Isn't that part of it?
Yes, it is part of it. If we'll sum it up in a nutshell, the man is to come away with the bottom line halacha l'maase of how to react to suffering. There's two elements. First of all, is it a wake up call for something? Either a failing or that I should be doing more. And Bay's acceptance. Those are really the bottom line halacha l'maase of how to react to suffering. Take it as a push, as a wake up call, and acceptance. Okay. Now also, acceptance doesn't mean not trying to alleviate it. Right, a person doesn't have to say, wakes up in the morning, oh, I feel like I have cancer this morning. But I'm accepting it lovingly. I won't contact the doctor. That's not what acceptance means. Acceptance doesn't conflict with going to the doctor, doing everything you can to alleviate it. What it means is, in as much as you are experiencing whatever you are experiencing, to take with the right attitude. While at the same time, you're working against it, but you're not cursing at what you are feeling now. You can work to alleviate. But oh, so you're asking a fundamental question. How can a person ever take medicine? Because that's basically the question. No, it is. It is. Think about it for a minute. But it's a good question. It's a fundamental question. What business do you have taking medicine? Hashem decided a headache is the thing for you this morning. Tylenol should not be in a Jewish home. So what's the answer? And the answer is that it's a chiddush. The Ramban says that it's a... Not just the Ramban. Chazal say, V'rapo yirape. The Torah says a chiddush. It's okay to go to a doctor. Now it's a chiddush. We have to realize that it's a chiddush. But it is. What's that? Once it's okay to, it's not okay not to. Now, but yeah, it's a chiddush. But Hashem says no. You can't alleviate the pain. And on the contrary, sometimes the test will be how will you go about alleviating it. Right? Often a person will be tested in that way. When a person goes through difficulties, what he's going to be doing in the process of overcoming it. Oh, that's one test. That's a tougher test. Sometimes it might be easier to sit back in bed in a fatal, how do you say, a fatalistic approach and say, I'll take it. Sometimes it's a tougher test to be able to say, I'm going to go to the doctor, I'm going to fight this. Fight it in the sense of practically, not being bitter. I'm going to fight this while at the same time realizing that it's not the doctor who's going to save me, but it's Hashem. That's all part of the challenge. Oh, Rabbi Yaakov is asking, how does this whole discussion fit into, and this is a good point, how does this whole discussion fit into interpersonal things? As in, someone wronged you. So, the truth is you're actually touching on an explicit statement of Chazal, which the Shlach explains mamish to be addressing what you're saying. Chazal say, Hane'alov in vain of Olvin, those who are offended but do not offend in return. Shoimim cherpasom ve'inim mishim ve'ainim. They hear themselves being ridiculed. They hear themselves being, is a better word. There are stronger words. Mocked. Yeah. But they don't respond. They move ahead, they proceed lovingly. Now, not lovingly as in, we have cousin Yashka, right? His lovingly was, the guy slapped your cheek, turn the other one. Would you like this side? Did that feel good? No. You don't have to do that. You can cover your cheek. You can even go like this. But lovingly as in toward Hashem. Toward Hashem, I'm going ahead lovingly, and I'm accepting it. Again, mamish about that. It says, smeichim v'yisurim. They're happy about the yisurim. Now, at the same time, you can work to alleviate it. If it's just somebody who put you down or whatever it is, you can view that as a golden opportunity. He handed you a gold mine. And by keeping quiet and not responding, you're becoming a millionaire. When you're talking about somebody who's actually causing you real problems, sure, work against it. Work against it. But even then, realize that it's mamish the same as a sickness. Except the Yisurim. The Yisurim are from Hashem. That guy is going to Gehenna for doing it. How it all comes together is another discussion. But the Yisurim are from Hashem. And while I will work to stop him, I'm accepting whatever suffering I'm going through toward Hashem, lovingly. That has to be qualified a bit more. That has to be qualified a bit more. We're already starting to run late here. But Bli Neder, we will begin with that tomorrow, as we move on. Tuesday.